Our daily bread. I grew up on a farm, and faith and hard work were strong, high values in our household. Dad worked long hours, especially when we had a dairy farm. Those cows needed to be milked twice a day, each day. Seeding in the spring and harvesting in the fall meant extra long hours in the fields, and extra help was needed. Mom minded the home front. She also had an extra load to carry. Dad would do what he could, but he knew there was a lot out of his control. The sun needed to shine, and the rains needed to fall at the right times. A hailstorm could wipe out thousands of dollars in seed and weeks of work in just a few minutes. Early snowfall could undo months of labor and patience. While Dad worked hard, he also trusted the Lord. Farming provides many opportunities for faith to be exercised and strengthened. In a country that enjoys a relatively high standard of living and government programs when times are tough, it's easy to lose sight of our provider. We can start to believe there is an inexhaustible supply of all that we need at the store. In fact, we might even think that our food grows at the store. 2,000 years ago, the Roman government did not provide the support our governments do today. Families and communities looked after the vulnerable. Those who did not have this support begged for help. Life was challenging and people could not take food for granted. While the disciples listened to Jesus explain how to pray, they realized the significance of Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, in which Jesus prayed simply, "Give us this day our daily bread." Lord, thank you for teaching us how to pray and why to pray. And Lord, as we continue to look at your model prayer and this particular part of your prayer, Lord, I pray that you would enable us to see and to hear what you want us to see and hear. Would we catch your heart, Lord? Would you speak to us through your word, by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father wants us to request of him. Jesus has taught us in Matthew chapter 6 why and to whom we should pray. Here, he continues to teach us what to pray in one of the easier memory verses in the Bible. Give us this day our daily bread. Throughout this model prayer, Jesus uses the first person singular, first person plural, rather than the first person singular. And we notice this throughout his prayer that he teaches us. And it begins with our Father. Here in Matthew 6:11, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us. We would tend to pray, give me. Instead, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us. Here in the Western world, we tend to think of every man for himself. We are very individualistic, but this is unique to the West. In many cultures in other parts of the world, there is a community-mindedness, a collectiveness that people are motivated by. While I prefer capitalism over socialism or communism, capitalism without generosity or a conscience can be used to justify greed and individualism. It is an economic system, but it has its flaws. A man was overheard confessing at the seed cleaning plant, "I am a greedy farmer who really gets bad headaches. They're migraines." Yes, we are to be hard workers who take responsibility for earning our keep. The Apostle Paul addresses idleness in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. He writes to the church in Thessalonica, and they basically had believed that Jesus was going to come at any moment. And many of them quit their jobs, and they just sat and stood around idle, waiting for the return of Christ. And Paul addresses this situation. He says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." Note that Paul says, "If a man will not work." He does not say, "If a man cannot work." There is a big difference between being unwilling and unable to work. The Bible speaks against laziness frequently. Families, communities, businesses, churches, and governments should neither tolerate nor enable laziness. We should all be active within our abilities and our limitations. This is healthy. Living with purpose and working hard are vital to our psychological, our physical, and of course, our financial health. However, if someone is not capable of working or is going through extenuating circumstances, we should do what we can to help. With this community-mindedness, we can pray, "Give us." The Lord directed the Israelites about 1,500 years before Christ in Leviticus 23, verse 22. Look at what Leviticus 23, 22 directs. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." This is a brilliant plan. The Lord does not say, "Gather the gleanings, bundle them up, grind the grain, make the bread, bake the bread, slice the bread, bag the bread, and deliver it to the poor and the alien or the foreigner among you." This is what we should do for those who are unable to do it for themselves. Instead, the Lord says, "Leave the gleanings of your harvest for the poor and the alien to gather and to make their own bread." This strategy preserves people's dignity by giving them the opportunity to provide for themselves and their families. In our well-meaning ways, we can actually, through our helping, hurt people. When we ask the Lord to provide for us, we think not only of ourselves, we think of those who depend on us and how we can give others opportunities to put bread on the table. When we ask the Lord to provide for us, we also think of the part we play in putting bread on the table. Isn't this true of much of prayer? We often have a part to play in the fulfillment of our prayers. J. Vernon McGee illustrates. An old pastor in Georgia used to make this statement: when a farmer prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say, "Amen," with a hoe. If you are praying about a certain matter, get busy with it. We might think that we're bothering our Heavenly Father when we present our requests to Him. He is not put out by us asking. He actually invites us. He wants us to ask. Can you imagine a dad depriving his dependent children of the necessities of life? Even the law has consequences for such selfishness and irresponsibility. As a father, I enjoy blessing our children. It brought me a deep sense of satisfaction to provide for our children when they were growing up. It brought me great joy to see them receive gifts I knew they wanted. This is the kind of heart that Jesus describes in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Look at what Jesus teaches here in Matthew 7, 7 through 11. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The joy that parents have in giving gifts to their kids is a glimpse into the heart of our Heavenly Father and how much he loves to bless his children. It brings him great joy. The Amplified Bible brings out the present tense of these verbs in verses 7 and 8, particularly of Matthew 7. Keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Jesus doesn't teach us that we need to wear down our Heavenly Father by our incessant nagging and begging so he will finally relent and give us what we want. When we look at these verses here in Matthew 7, we might think that. Instead, Jesus teaches us to be persistent in our asking, in our seeking, in our knocking. He says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because our zeal and perseverance will yield great rewards. We are to ask with wholeheartedness and single-mindedness. We are to press in and we will be rewarded. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's from the book of James chapter 4, second half of verse 2 and verse 3. We are to ask him. We are to request of him. Progress in the kingdom of heaven is made with pure motives and determined prayers. What do we and the people around us need? Let's ask our Heavenly Father. What do we want? Let's consider why we want it and ask for it with a submissive attitude. Not my will, but yours be done. Our Father wants us to request of him, and our Father wants us to rely on him. He wants us to rely on him. When those who first heard Jesus teach us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, the minds of these Jewish listeners would go to when they were completely dependent upon the Lord. This was after they left Egypt and they traveled through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. I've had the opportunity to look across a desert, and it's an intimidating sight. It can be frightening. I pictured myself out in the middle of the desert, no food or drink, having lost my way. Imagine what that would have been like for several millions of people going through the wilderness. This is dependence at its height. They relied on our Heavenly Father. Look at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus is the chapter devoted to this exodus from Egypt as they launched out to the wilderness. Exodus 16, verses 1 through 5. Exodus 16, starting at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Fascinating. Does God drop food in our mouths like a mother bird feeds her babies? Maybe. Sometimes. Usually, though, we play a part in gathering and preparing our daily bread. Even the Israelites had to gather the manna. Well, I would recommend asking our Father rather than grumbling to our Father. He graciously provided the Israelites with their daily bread in a desolate land. Skip ahead to verse 15. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Jump down to Exodus 16, verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Coriander is a member of the parsley family, as was Elvis, by the way. The leaves of the plant are commonly called cilantro. Does that sound familiar? This comes from the Spanish word for coriander or Chinese parsley. This word manna literally means in Hebrew, "What is it? What is it?" Doesn't this make you smile? Just so you know, my wife Brenda is a good cook. I don't remember sitting down to eating a meal that she has prepared and having to ask, "What is it?" Our Father is gracious, but he also has a sense of humor. I can almost hear him say, while the Israelites grumbled and pined for the good old days when they were slaves in Egypt. Could you imagine? They're sitting around there thinking, "Oh, if only we could go back to Egypt. We had it so good back there." What? You had it terrible back there. It's amazing how our memories can distort the past and make the old days the good old days. I can see our Heavenly Father smiling, saying, "You want bread? I'll give you bread. I'll give you manna to eat for the next 40 years. And that's exactly what he did. And if you want to read about the quail in that story, go ahead and do that too. That also makes me smile. By the way, what kind of bread do lemons eat? Sourdough, my favorite. Why did the Lord provide the Israelites with their bread each day? This is kind of strange, isn't it? Do you think he had a short supply in the storeroom somewhere? And he could only afford to provide them with a daily quantity? And he needed the angels to help him? Okay, gather around, Michael, Gabriel, all of you. We're going to rain down bread from heaven today. We only have so much, so don't rain down too much. Do you think this was the case? Of course not. He did this not for his sake, but so that the Israelites would learn to seek Him, depend on Him, and obey Him every day. Does this mean that we should live hand to mouth with no planning, saving, or investing? The Bible actually commends these activities. And we know that the Bible does not contradict itself. Our Father's call to depend on Him every moment of every day doesn't make sense to us. Our parents taught us, and we taught our children to be independent. This is healthy and helpful for everyone concerned. Parents, if your adult children still depend on you for a roof over their heads, clothes on their backs, and bread on the table, you need to make some adjustments for their own good. I know when our kids were getting to be that age, we started to charge them rent. And the rent would increase incrementally over time. The heat would get turned up. This actually was not because we needed the money. It got pretty hot. It's not because we needed the money. It was because we wanted them to learn responsibility. If we don't do this for our adult children, how will they grow up and learn to live on their own? And if you are an adult child and you still depend on your parents for the basic necessities of life, you need to make some adjustments for your own growth, your own progress, and your own maturity. Our Heavenly Father does not want us to depend on our earthly parents indefinitely. But He does want us to draw from Him every moment of every day. He doesn't want us to depend on human beings. He wants us to draw from and depend upon Him. Jesus set the example for us, and He described it in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Look at John 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 5, 19. This is amazing. Jesus didn't do anything or say anything apart from His Father. He depended upon His Father. Let the impact of this declaration soak in. The Son of God lived more than 33 years on earth with the keen awareness of His reliance on God the Father every day. When He was just 12 years old, Jesus knew that He was to be in His Father's house. Look at Luke 2, verses 41 to 49. Jesus, His family, the community had gone to celebrate a festival in Jerusalem, and He was left behind, and there He was in the temple. And they're all flabbergasted. Why didn't you come with us? And Jesus said, I had to be in my Father's house. Didn't you know? I am sure there were many other instances not recorded in the gospel accounts of Jesus speaking and acting in complete dependence on His Father. If this is true of the Son of God, how much more should we rely on our Father? We should draw from Him every moment of every day. The book of Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law given to Moses to prepare a new generation of Israelites for life in the promised land. The Lord summarizes His dealings with the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Let's look at this passage together. Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 5. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Jesus quotes part of verse 3 here in Deuteronomy 8 in Matthew chapter 4 when the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus replies, man does not live by bread alone or on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In both Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 4, the theme is reliance upon our Heavenly Father. Why does he test us with challenges? Why can life be so difficult at times? Does our Father not love us? Life should be like an amusement park. Life should be easy. We all know that life has its challenges and its difficulties. Why is this? Why does he test us with these challenges? So we will grow. If life was just easy and smooth sailing from birth to death, we wouldn't grow. We wouldn't get stronger. Why does he allow us to be hungry? So we will remember our provider. The next time your stomach growls, remember your provider. Where does our bread come from? Mother Nature? No! Father God! Our bread, or everything that we need, comes from the mouth of God. Bread has come to be regarded as something less than what it was in Bible times. We don't usually think of it as a symbol of life's necessities today. In Jesus' day, however, bread represented nourishment in all its many forms. Bread can include nourishment for our bodies, for our souls, and for our spirits. We need food so we can grow and maintain physical, psychological, and spiritual health. Our Father provides us with everything that we need. Absolutely everything. We've had challenges with our internet service providers over the years. Our challenges continue. Living in the country, we cannot access a cable connection, so we rely on a wireless signal. Each time we've started out with a new provider, full of hope and optimism, each time we realize the connection is inconsistent and undependable. Likewise, we can put our hope in different providers that show that they too are inconsistent and undependable. And so we go looking for other providers. And eventually we realize there is no provider like our Heavenly Father. After walking with him for most of my life, I can assure you there is one who is consistent and dependable. Our Heavenly Father. You can rely on him. You can request of him. Here is a simple phrase I encourage you to whisper when you get up tomorrow morning. When you go through your day and lay your head on the pillow tomorrow night, The phrase is simply this: Father, I need you. Father, I need you. I then encourage you to rinse and repeat the next day and the day after that. Eventually, you will have cultivated the habit of continual dependence upon our Father every moment of every day. You keep telling Him that. Not because He needs to be reminded, but because you need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Our Father wants us to request of Him and to rely on Him. Our Heavenly Father calls us to draw from Him every moment of every day.